Meryl, it's good to see you again.
Good to see you, Robert.
Good to hear your voice, perhaps. That's more accurate.
To all of our podcast listening audience.
Yeah. So, Meryl, our audience wants to know, where you been?
Well, I was up in Bartow County, which is where Cartersville is, meeting with Maria Floyd at the Bartow County Department of Public Health and Valerie Gilreath, who works with the Bartow Literacy Council and with their bookmobile Reading to Go Places. And they are doing some really, really innovative things, pulling multi-sector actors together to support literacy in their community. It's really cool.
Awesome. So I guess you're gonna give us a glimpse into what they're doing today, huh?
Uh-huh. We're gonna tell you all about it.
All right, let's do it.
Here we go. Hello. Welcome to Field Notes. I'm Meryl. I work with the Georgia Partnership, and I am here to talk today with some ladies from Bartow County talking about literacy initiatives that they have going on and the partnerships and collaboratives that they're based on in their community. Y'all want to introduce yourselves?
Yes. Hi, my name is Valerie Gilreath. I'm chairperson of the Bartow Literacy Council, and I'm the director of grant writing for Bartow County and the city of Cartersville.
I'm Maria Floyd. I'm a nurse here at the Bartow County Health Department, an active member of the Literacy Council. We work carefully with our community partners and advocates to bring about literacy changes here at the Health Department as well as with the Literacy Council.
Well, welcome. Nice to meet you both, and I'm happy to introduce you to the podcasting community and our listeners. Maria, you were just talking about some of the work being done and the to support early literacy. Can you tell me what is being done in Bartow County, and how did that come about?
Well, here in Bartow County, we wanted to start an initiative to provide books to children from birth to 5 years old. Primarily for our WIC patients, but for anybody who was interested in enrolling for their children, because we wanted to promote early literacy for the child. So we set out to try to work with our community to provide that resource.
And how has it gone? What kind of stuff has been put in place?
So our first initiative was to make Bartow County a Dolly Parton Imagination Library community.
So, and the Imagination Library is a program that provides free books to children, age-appropriate books to households with kids that are birth to five, is that right?
That is correct. Each enrolled child receives one book per month mm-hmm. in the mail to their house, and it at a cost of $25 a year, but that cost is covered by the Bartow Literacy Council, so it's at no cost to the family.
That's wonderful.
Yes, so we enrolled 1,700 children in the first year. That was 2017.
And 1,700 children.
Yes.
That's a massive impact across the county.
Thank you. Yes. The nurse manager here at the health department issued a challenge to us in the beginning to enroll 1,000 children.
And you said 1,000.
Exactly. So we knocked that out of the park. So currently we have 3,232 children enrolled and 889 children have graduated from the program.
That's magnificent.
All told, we've impacted over 4,000 children.
That's huge. That's huge. And now where did that come from originally?
So one of our local Rotary groups, Bartow Rotary, had the original idea to make Bartow County an Imagination Library community and had done so, had done all the paperwork and set it up the account, but just did not have access to the target population. So in the 4 years since they started in 2012 to 2016, when we got involved, they had enrolled 142 children. And they knew that wasn't the impact that they had hoped to have. And so it was actually a member of that Bartow Rotary that had a conversation with someone at the health department that sort of got this whole ball rolling.
So now that partnership, why was that important with the health department?
Well, because we are limited in funds that we can put forth to enroll children into a books program. So it only made sense to, you know, look for partnerships in our community for people who were equally interested in improving literacy. Because as with any partnership, you both bring something to the table. We had the children, but not the funding. And the Rowe degree had funding, but not access to the children.
So you knew the kids, the families, you can get in front of the moms.
Exactly. We had opportunity to do that. And they were passionate about providing that service. And since then, it is grown by leaps and bounds,
it sounds
as you
like.
Heard. And, you know, we have many more people at the table now who are interested in literacy and trying to make the Literacy Council bigger and better as we go forward.
Wonderful. Valerie, who are the members of the collaborative, the Literacy Collaborative here? Am I calling that by the right name?
It's the council.
The council. The Literacy Council.
Because we already have a Bartow Collaborative, which is part of Georgia Family Connection.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
in order to not be confusing.
And who is on our council here in Bartow?
Well, we have the Health Department, the Bartow County Library System, Bartow Rotary, Advocates for Children, which is another nonprofit that deals with children and teens. Both school systems. We have both a county school system and the Cartersville City School System.
Mm-hmm.
Bartow County Government. I'm trying to go around the table in my mind.
sure.
The Cartersville Women's Group, which has been, they have been the hands and feet of our volunteers. I mean, we can always count on them to show up for our outreach efforts.
So it sounds like you have representation from a number of different sectors. You have health, you have municipalities and leadership from that level, from sort of city and county.
Absolutely.
You have the school systems, you have nonprofits.
Chamber of Commerce.
Chamber. What has been the value of having that sort of multi-sector emphasis, or I guess focus on literacy? I mean, everybody's not a school teacher, so.
Exactly, and everybody doesn't have to be a school teacher. But by each organization has their own sphere of influence, and by bringing different organizations to the table, then you widen your sphere of influence as well as your knowledge exponentially. And
well, like you were talking about with Rotary, had the funds and they had the will, but they didn't have the parents.
Exactly.
And y'all had the parents and the families and the will,
but
which
not
didn't
the
have the yep.
So that is an excellent example. And so we find that to be true of pretty much all of the initiatives. So we've been able to put in place programs that complement what the school system wants to see happen, and they make sure that they can give us access to the parents at times so that we can have some early language programming
mm-hmm.
and other ways we work together.
Give me some examples of some of the other programs that you have in place. I know you're talking about the Dolly Parton Imagination Libraries. What else has come out of this?
In addition to that, we have our Little Library Initiative. And that started with a conversation with the school system. One of our local elementary schools, Emerson Elementary, had taken an old newspaper box and turned it into a lending library.
I love the Little Libraries. I think that's fabulous.
For those that don't know, the Little Free Library official program started in 2009 in Wisconsin. And the idea is that people put a book exchange in their yard or in a community spot like a park. And each one has a steward that looks after it. But you fill it up with books and then you offer it to the community. And it's a take a book, leave a book.
And it just lives there. It's unlocked. You were saying you guys have newspaper boxes. I have seen. I mean, it's just like cabinets that
yes.
are available. And so if somebody can get by at, you know, 2 p.m, that's great. But if they're coming home from work in a late shift and it's 5 a.m, it's always just there and available.
That's right. The idea is that it belongs to the community, even though there is someone looking after it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 24/7 access to books.
And so that got started at Emerson
Elementary, yes. Mm-hmm. They had built one out of a newspaper box. And when the school system showed it to us, and we all thought that it would be a great idea to do this at every elementary school. And so we decided that would be our phase one. And we provided newspaper boxes to all 13 of the elementary schools in both school systems. And the books to fill them up.
That's marvelous. Where did you get the newspaper boxes?
Well, our local newspaper, the Daily Tribune, donated 7 boxes. And then we have a metal recycling company, Self Recycling, that has a salvage store. And we happened to find another group there, and they gave us a great deal on 10 boxes.
So they just already existed. There were just newspaper boxes out there, and somebody had a good idea and said, hey, we can do something cool with this.
That's
and
right.
The community said, okay, let's do it.
Yes.
Ha! I love it. What else? So we have little libraries.
Yes, and then we have the Checkup Checkout program, which is a partnership with local doctors and dentist offices. We provide them with books to give to children at their well check visits.
Okay, so when they come to the dentist or the doctor.
Yes, for a cleaning or a well check visit, when they check out, they get an age appropriate book.
Oh, they just get it at check. Oh.
Yes.
That's awesome.
And the idea is also that the doctor will incorporate some early literacy check points into the well visit. Like some questions. We provided them with a link to Reach Out and Read. We're not officially part of the Reach Out and Read program, but there are materials that teach doctors how to incorporate those early language milestones mm-hmm. into the well visits to make sure that there's not something else they need to be looking out for.
So do you find in your work with parents, because I'm familiar because I work in the education sector and we talk all the time about early literacy and its important and the importance of early language acquisition and healthy, loving words being spoken to kids in their early formative years. Do you find that parents, and not, I guess, just not even just parents, but the other sort of adults and professionals that you interact with who maybe early literacy is not their wheelhouse, that's not their specialty in life, do they know this stuff or is it new information?
Well, to a lot of people, including some of our staff when we've done trainings around Talk to Me Baby and those sorts of things as well, we didn't realize just how impactful hearing those a large amount of loving words is to the child as far as developing their vocabulary, even before they're starting to speak and definitely before they start to read, in order to build the brain. Is so important, and we stress that not only with the reading program, but you know, with developmental screenings that we do here through the ages and stages to make sure that kids stay on track developmentally, because the importance is happening early on, and if we fail to address those issues early, then the child struggles when mm-hmm. it's time to get to school, when most people would be thinking it's time to start addressing language and reading skills. That happens early on, and we've missed the boat if we don't start early.
We got to talk to them young so that they can get big brains.
Exactly. So, so important. And people are receptive to it. And, you know, we hear feedback from the parents as well. I'll ask, are you enrolled in the Imagination Library? Oh, yes. My kid loves getting the books every month. They bring it to me every night and want to read. So that tells us there's impact happening there, that the child is excited and they want to learn and, mm-hmm. and that it's important that we take the time to encourage them. And even when they're in the clinic here, that we address the children, not just the parents, mm-hmm. and talk with them mm-hmm. as well.
What are some other good sort of cross-sector partnerships that are going on in the community?
Well, in the past year, the Bartow County Health Department partnered with one of our local elementary schools, Cloverleaf Elementary, to mentor children. We were able to go in once a month and we had a child that was either in first or second grade.
Wait, so the staff here would actually go into the elementary school and meet with the little adorable first and second graders?
That is correct. We were assigned a child.
Sounds like the best day of your month.
And we went into the schools, we read to them, we did activities with them, and it was amazing to see the transition in so many of the children. I know for my child, you know, she was very shy, wasn't really sure about what she was doing there with me. But then by the end of the, you know, the school term, that we, you know, she would smile so brightly when she came in the door and saw me. And we had a good relationship. And I noticed how her reading patterns improved so much during the year, and how it seemed that her interest in reading was growing as well. And I know that's not just my interaction with her, and, you know, had a great deal to do with her teachers and others influencing that as well. But it was so great to see that she had that interest.
And well, and having that direct impact of a caring, loving adult consistent in your life. I mean, everybody needs
that. Well, you get back as much as you give in that situation.
And I have to imagine it builds a good relationship with that school and
it most certainly did.
The Department of Public Health, and here's resources we have, and here's when we're doing our eye screening, or, you know, here's our outreach program and all this, and getting them plugged in.
They were always welcoming us with open arms every time we were there, and we felt very fortunate to be able to participate in that program.
That's wonderful.
We also, as another initiative, work closely in the schools through a program that's new to our community. And I'm going to let Valerie talk about that program.
So the program Maria is referring to is called Read to Grow, and it was a pilot initiative of the Bartow County School System last year in partnership with the Bartow Baptist Association. And so the idea was to build on the idea of mentoring with a specific focus on reading and language attainment, acquisition, excuse me. So they piloted it in 4 elementary schools. Every first grade in those schools had a volunteer each day of the week come in for an hour. And these volunteers, most of them were recruited through the faith community, and that was the partnership with the Baptist Association. So they reached out to the churches and let them know that there was a need for volunteers, recruited 170 to do the pilot program. And the feedback was amazing from the teachers, from the students, from the volunteers themselves, and then from the test scores at the end of the year, so that we could see not only is there like the warm, fuzzy impact that you feel like you're having, but it really does translate into their reading skill level.
And that's magnificent. How did that come to be? How did the faith community understand that this was a need?
It's my understanding that the school system was looking for community involvement, and they felt like the faith community was sort of this untapped resource, and if they just could get the word out, that they knew people would respond. And it turns out they were right. Mm-hmm. So they talked to the pastors, and the pastors helped them explain the program and the opportunity to the parishioners, and they were eager to help. So it was so successful that they are expanding it countywide this coming school year. Every Bartow County System elementary school first grade will have volunteers, and then some schools will even have second grade.
That's so cool.
Volunteers. So they're in the process of recruiting and training 500 volunteers right now.
You know, we who are focused on literacy, we understand, we've studied for time, we've seen the data, we know the impact of early literacy as sort of a public good. And it's good for individuals, but it's necessary for an entire community. And so seeing a community come together and say, oh, well, then let's get in there. let's do something about it. Let's be a part of the solution. It's marvelous.
Yes, yes, it has been. And I think
Island Window 5.
Uh-huh.
I think the school system and the faith community have benefited in lots of ways from working together. I mean, not just what we see in the children, but other needs become apparent. And I know that we had volunteers working with their children who would find out that their child needed a pair of shoes or that somebody in the family needed a coat. And then they would take that back to their church community and those needs would get met. So it just has this ripple effect.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And draws closer connections between communities that might not otherwise be know all that much about each other.
Absolutely.
Another initiative that it would be remiss of me not to mention is the great work that Valerie and Kim Dennis have been doing through the Bookmobile program, the Reading to Go Places.
Tell me about your bookmobile.
So it has been fantastic work as well. And I'll let Valerie, since that's kind of her wheelhouse, explain that.
So Reading to Go Places, the bookmobile, is a nonprofit program that my partner and I started in 2017, aimed at increasing access to books in remote areas of Bartow County and also just challenged areas of Bartow County. And mm-hmm. by challenged, I mean places that have higher poverty and lower educational attainment and higher crime rates and all of these things that we associate with stability and economic success just aren't there in these mm-hmm. communities. Mm-hmm. And so we took an old U.S. Postal Service box truck and that we bought used. Through some grant money, people were very generous, our local United Way, the Community Foundation of Northwest Georgia, and converted it into a bookmobile, mm-hmm. a very rudimentary bookmobile, but it gets the job done. And so
you just show up and say, hello, we have books, and do you give them away? Do you rent them out like a library? Is there...
It's some of both of that. So the books in the vehicle itself... those are the mobile library, and they're for all ages, primarily for kids and teens, but we do have a small adult section. And because we know that if kids see their parents reading at home, mm-hmm. then they're more likely mm-hmm. to read themselves. And then we purchase new books from the first book at a deeply discounted rate, and we give those away to every child at every visit. They get to pick out a new book.
I mean, that's incredible. That's building libraries in homes where there would not otherwise be one. And I love the mobility of a bookmobile, right? I love that you can go to where you find out the people are. And people in the demographic that we're talking about often lack transportation. So they can't get to the library, the little library, whatever.
Right. And that's the entire idea, is that people can't get to where the resources are, and that, especially in terms of books, people don't always know it's a resource they need. Mm. So it may not even be a resource that they're seeking out if they can get there.
Do you find that?
I
mean, is that, have...
Yeah.
Like, has that been a conversation?
When you put books in front of people, then they're usually eager, but...
Oh, but they wouldn't seek them out necessarily.
Uh-huh. Right. Mm-hmm. And for parents with young children in particular, especially low-income families, that they're just struggling to keep a roof over their head and food in their mouths. And so when they have some time and gas money, they're not going to go to the library
right.
necessarily.
And books are very expensive to buy. So it's in the opportunity to give books to the children to let them build their own library mm-hmm. is phenomenal because, you know, if you go to Target, even Walmart, wherever, you know, books are not cheap. So it's a great opportunity for our low-income families to be able to build a library for their children.
That's wonderful.
Through these books, through the bookmobile, as well as through the Imagination Library.
We also find that a lot of the families we work with are suspicious of government resources mm-hmm. and government agencies, and so they're not necessarily going to go to a building that's designated
sure.
as such. So if you can just drive up in this very non-threatening, fun vehicle, and it's clear that that's all you want is
right.
you know, to increase their literacy and give them access to books.
I'm just picturing you dressed as the Cat in the Hat, jumping out of a bookmobile and children running,
yeah.
pouring towards you. Does it make noise like the ice cream truck? Because
no,
I want it to.
We've talked about it many times. We may get a sound system so that we can do that. But you don't want false advertising. You don't want kids to come out thinking it is the ice cream truck and then have the disappointment that, oh, it's books. I mean, they like books, but it's not ice cream.
You just need a distinct song.
Exactly.
Any other pieces of advice for other communities that might be trying to replicate some of the good work you're doing or find their own way towards being a community that embraces literacy?
I think the first step is always to reach out to your colleagues, your connections, your friends, get some people to the table and start talking about what you need and what's possible. One thing I love about what we've done here in Bartow County is that we didn't really wait for the money.
Mm.
We just kind of said, this is what we're going to do, and we'll work with the resources we have until there's more. And then when people see you making an impact and they see success, then they're eager to get on board.
Sure.
You know?
Well, and it sounds like a lot of this stuff has been not super expensive. I mean,
that's true too.
There's programs that'll give you books for free or a deep discount if you're giving the books away. There's you found newspaper boxes, right? Or newspaper,
yes.
What are they called?
Newspaper boxes,
yeah.
Yes.
And going, and then those are the successes that then bring the further successes down the road. And that's, it doesn't always have to be, you know, we built a $1 million library.
Right.
In order to impact reading in our community.
Right. And when we talk to people about who are trying to get started in their community, I find that a lot of time it's that first step that gets missed, which is, one, don't try to do it all alone. And two, if you have some social capital in a community, reach out and start tapping it. Mm. I mean, start letting people know that you expect them to step up.
Sure.
And most of the time, they will.
When you look at the percentage of children that you see in most every county across the state of Georgia and nationally, when you look at that transition rate at third grade from learning to read to reading to learn, and you see these 30s, and you're lucky if you're hitting 40.
You mean their score on
yes.
their...
Yes, mm-hmm. You know, that children that are actually at that grade level with their mm-hmm. academics, when you see how much work needs to be done and think about not doing anything, is just doesn't make sense to
mm-hmm.
me. Even, you know, it doesn't have to be monetary. Certainly, you know, to do the things that we've done, we've had to raise money to do that. But there's things that you can do that are not real expensive, and your time, you know, you can give of that, even if it's just the time that you spend with your child in the evening or with a neighbor child that you read to, or a family member, whatever you give toward literacy is beyond measure. As to the impact that can have on someone's life.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, ladies, thank you so much for your time today, and also for the work that you're doing for the kids and families and the community of Bartow County. It's, as you just said, Maria, it's without measure the impact that this kind of thing can do. So.
Well, you are welcome. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to share our story with mm-hmm. other people.
I am going to make sure that everybody has your contact information. So when listener, when you call in and say, oh my goodness, this is the most amazing thing and I can't wait to do it, how do I learn more? you will have access to these wonderful women. They didn't know I was going to put them up for this. But to answer some questions if necessary and get some more advice along the way and help everybody on their own journey towards a more literate community.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
All right, Meryl, so you walked us through what's happening in Bartow County around literacy and health. Like we always talk about at the end, what's the so what?
To me, the so what of Bartow is look at what can happen if people sort of get outside of their thinking of what their box is. You know, when we talk about the education pipeline and the workforce pipeline, we all need that to be a strong, robust pipeline. And we can't just look at schools alone to be responsible for it. We all need it to work out, and so we should all sort of get involved. And I think they've done some really cool things in Bartow, sort of outlining ways that multi-sector people can come together. And the work that they're doing is supporting economic development in their city, in their county, in their region. So it's pretty cool.
It sounds really, really cool. Well, all right. We will see you next time.
Bye, listening audience.
Hey there, listener. One more thing before you go. You've been hearing from us, but we'd love to hear from you. We at the Georgia Partnership always want to get better at what we're doing. So let us know what you think so far. Also, what are we missing out there across this great state? Who's doing cool things in your neighborhood to support the education and workforce pipeline? What innovations and solutions has your community come up with around economic development? Are there some great partnerships between sectors like housing, health, transportation that are making a difference in your educational outcomes? We'd love to hear about them and spread the word about good work being done across Georgia. We hope to hear from you. To contact us, go to our website, gpee.org, and click on the Contact Us tab in the top right corner. Or give Robert, our communications guru, a call at 404-223-2464. Thanks for listening, listener.